begin with, and then gets over and sets some laws and establishes some rules for the people of God to live by. And then in Exodus chapter number 16, we find God giving some instructions. We find God letting His people know that He's going to bless them. He's going to help them, and He's going to meet their need in every way in their journey to the promised land. Just as much as God has promised to me 21 years ago when He saved me on a Monday night in my home, God committed Himself to see me all the way through. Not only in my young age, but in my older age, God will be found to be faithful to His. Now He's speaking to those here in Exodus chapter number 16. They just got through in chapter 15 of singing their praise song of God overthrowing horse and rider into the Red Sea. 14, they were coming out of Egypt. 13, they were making their way to exit out of there. And 12 was the blood applied to the door. And here in 16:1, look at it. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured. How sad that is. After seeing the great power of God and the 10 plagues over there in Egypt, how God had wonderfully, remember, it was them that were sighing and crying by the reason of their bondage. Oh, they were being abused by Pharaoh, and they began to sigh and cry, and God heard them, and God delivered them. And yet now we find them, this is, and all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel, notice what they're murmuring about, the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by those flesh pots. Boy, they got their mind on those buffets back in Egypt. He says, and when we did eat bread to the full, they just used to eating in excess. We're preaching on gluttony again. Gluttony is not, those that are fat are not the only one that's guilty of gluttony. Gluttony is at any time you eat to the excess. Now we see something here that I think needs to be seen. It says, for ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. Now God delivered them out of Egypt. He's going to give them some heavenly food. But the problem lies in the fact is, if you don't have a heavenly heart, you ain't going to like heavenly food. In other words, this was angels' food. This wasn't human food. This is something God fed the angels with. And God sent it down to these people to prove and make manifest that even though they'd come out of Egypt, they still didn't have spirituality in their heart because they loathed this spiritual food. Oh, they didn't find comfort. And boy, we could preach on tonight finding comfort in Christ and His Word and all of that, but I'm preaching on food tonight, so we'll try to stick to that. He said, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. A certain rate. Every day. But God leaves us at no time to our own discretion. He says, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. In other words, God says, Moses, I'm fixed to show you that crowd ain't saved. So I'm going to give them some heavenly food, and they ain't going to like it because they ain't got heavenly hearts. And it shall come to pass on the sixth day, they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, and even then shall you know the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And of course, God goes on to give them birds. And don't you imagine what a sight that is every evening, son? And just a great big flock of pheasants and quails that fly in there. They were so tame, they just get them. Just go out there and catch him one and pluck his head and skin him up and have a great old big meal. Isn't that amazing what God does for people? Now, notice in verse number 14.
And when the dew that lay was gone up,
this food was so heavenly, praise God, he wouldn't let it hit the earth. It had to fall on the dew. Had to be something between it and the earth. It was such good food. Such heavenly food.
He says, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost.
Now, hoarfrost is, when you see a frost, it's got little bitty, tiny particles of ice, just little bitty stuff. This stuff was real small, maybe the size of a BB on the ground.
And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather it every man according to his eating. You see, every man had to be honest and gather what was necessary for him to eat. An omer for every man according to the number of your persons. In other words, the man or the head that would go out evidently was responsible for getting enough of this manna to feed the whole family. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less.
In other words, it took different amounts for different people.
And when they did meet it with an omer, that when they measured it like God said, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning.
You see, God has always been against excess.
We don't want you gathering too much food.
Of course, I'm preaching on putting too much in your belly
of any. See, all diets are like this. You can eat all you want.
You can't win. God didn't make you to eat all you want. God made us to eat all we needed.
I'm finding out not only if it needs me to cut out all between eating, I'm finding I got to tighten up even more on my portions when I eat. In other words, I just can't eat till I'm full.
I've got to eat that which I need for my body.
Notwithstanding, of course, this is nothing unusual for the unregenerate. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning. And notice what happened. And it bred worms, and it stank. And Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. All the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Now, two things I want to show you here. First one is, God Almighty has given us that which we need to give us health in our journey. The second thing here is that to have an excess in this food is going to cause you some serious problems. Hey, you may never gain a pound, but every bit of excess you put in your body is going to begin to stink. And it's going to breed worms. And it's going to give you some kind of disease of some kind. Because anything over the amount you need is going to turn into a negative instead of a positive. In other words, folks, there ain't no way for God's people to indulge without paying the consequences. There's no way we can just let our appetites control us, and when we're full, we stop. Reason must come in and stand a guard at our throats and cause us to eat that which is necessary provision for each individual without putting more every time. And by the way, we're all guilty of it. Already. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't care how much temperance some of us practice here on out, you're going to still be dealt with diseases because it's already been planted and set in your body from years of abuse. So you can start, you can get on all these crazy kind of diets, and you can ignore what God said even in that. The damage is done.
Your blood is already fouled up.
In other words, you'd be surprised how many people in this building's got bad blood. Well, it's enough to keep you alive, but it ain't enough to keep that disease off of you. Life is in the blood. Every time you go to the doctor, they want some of your blood. And this excess causes a lot of blood problems. Now, the first message on this thing of gluttony, I want to acquaint you with the nature of this particular sin, which is a bowing to the flesh. It's a setting the flesh up as an idol. And young people, oh, I beg you to pay attention. But even though I would say that even most young people in here that's 8 or 10 years old, your parents has already corrupted you with bad eating. You're already set. And it'd be certain you're going to have physical problems in your life because you already got some tainted blood in your system. You're going to ache and you're going to hurt, and some of you may die untimely deaths, and it'll all be related if you could trace it back to bad eating habits. Unruly eating, whether it be quantity or quality. Now, I said I want to show you 4 or 5 things here. I've showed you some particular things about this sin. I've showed you what gluttony is and what is not. I've showed you what causes gluttony, which is an absolute running of the flesh. And in this message, I want to show you the awfulness of this sin, in hope that it may strike you in such a way that you put forth more effort than you ever had to get control of this unruly appetite and this eating whenever I want to eat and how much I want to eat. To know and understand the greatness of this sin is the chief part of its cure. You see, I've been blind. I've been willfully blind. I've been ignorant. I've been unconcerned. I've taken it very light on the matter of indulging myself with food. But now that I see it's different, and oh, if you have grace inside of your heart, you just can't find yourself wanting continually to kick against the prick or to fight against the God that has so blessed you. Luxury and gluttony is a sin that's exceedingly contrary to the love of God. Any kind of bowing to the flesh opposes a holy God. This sin of gluttony has the heart. You see, God says, "My son, give me thine heart." But when a man is given to gluttony, a man is given to choose and decide what he'll eat and how much he'll eat, then he's really given his belly his heart. The very thing that God should have now belongs to the flesh, and therefore a glutton can be called a belly god. A man who's more concerned about satisfying his appetite than he is eating in such a way that it'll make him serviceable to the one that saved his soul. Now, it's given by the glutton, it says in Romans 16:17. It says, "Now beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly," talking about their flesh. The glutton loves the pleasing of his appetite better than the pleasing of God. The glutton gets much more pleasure out of smelling the aroma of food in his house than he does of searching the Scriptures and finding the truth out as it is in Jesus Christ. The glutton's meals are more delightful to him than any holy exercise that you could name if you took all night a naming them. His thoughts are more sweet and frequent of his belly than it is of God. And he'll brag more on the taste of food and the goodness of food than he ever does on the goodness and blessings of a wonderful God. A glutton puts forth more labor to please himself in meats and drinks than he'll ever give to make sure of his standing or calling in Christ Jesus. You see, gluttony is a man who's given to his appetite. He's concerned about how it's going to taste, how good it's going to be, and it always has precedence over
the service of God and the health of his own body. The scripture says this, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and who glory in their shame, who mind earthly things. Gluttons, the Bible says, for many of them I have told you, and now tell you even weeping, says Paul, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They're enemies. Why? That is the bearing the cross for Christ. That is, they're against any type of crucifying their flesh. In other words, the Israelites said, we are not going to be satisfied with this little wafer. We're going to have some meat or we ain't going to shut up. We're going to have us a full-fledged buffet. We remember down in Egypt when we eat bread to the full. And we ain't going to have it no other way. But that's not true of saved people. We may do a lot of stupid things, but sooner or later God's going to bring us to the light on it. Sooner or later God's going to help us to see it for what it is. Now those who resist the crucifying of the flesh, they're enemies. Oh, they want a price to take them to heaven. They don't want any part to do with the suffering side of religion. They don't want anything to do with self-denial. They hate the faults of mortifying their earthly members. The belly is such a devouring idol that it swallows up more by intemperance and excess than all of the idols in the world do everything. This flesh is the grandest idol that's ever been set up against God. And remember, the very life of sin is how much you desire it and the condition of your heart. In other words, the desire comes in with the appetite. When a man's heart is set upon his belly, though he's not able to give it all it wants, he's not able to satisfy it, he's still a glutton in heart. See, there's a lot of poor people tonight that can't eat a lot of things, but they like to eat it, but they just don't have the means to get it. So in reality, the same thing can be said about them as Jesus said about the adulterer. But if it's in your heart, that's what you are. God judges us by what's in our heart. When you think more about the delights in eating and drinking than you do the end of it, which all meats and drinks have been given, that they may strengthen us and nourish our bodies so that you and I can serve God in a vigorous way. And when we forget about that, and we start looking at food as if just this is good, and this is going to appease my appetite, and I'm going to feel good when I get done eating it, we fell down to a bowing to the flesh and satisfying the lust thereof. It's a making the appetite a god is what it is. Now, gluttony is, you know, the Bible says, which is our next commandment, if I ever get back to the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. Now, gluttony is self-murder. Hey, it's murder even though it's not instantly. But it does surely kill men from eating more than their bodies can rightfully handle. Listen, years ago, folks, some of the wisest physicians upon the face of God's earth believed that if children ever got started with bad eating habits, very rarely would one ever overcome it. It's a far cry from this age of little Debbie in it. All these snacks and candies and stuff that seem to pile up around our houses. Oh, the sin of gluttony will not let a man die easily and quickly. Sometimes it torments them a long time before they die with what we know as diseases, problems, afflictions, rottings, and so forth. Excess in eating and drinking is the principal cause of most deaths. Even though it's not the immediate cause, but it's still what led to it. It's putting more in your body than it can digest. And that stuff hanging around in you, rotten and corrupting and clinging on to this, that, and other, finally causes all kinds of diseases that bring us to the grave. Now, nobody wants to see them as bad eating habits from the time they was just a little kid. They like to see it as just something they don't know, hereditary, and things of that nature. Oh, that's not so, you see. Men are eating more than their bodies can handle. And because they do not feel it very quickly, and because it does not trouble them the moment they eat it, nor does it make them sick, they think they can fill themselves up to almost discomfort. And because they don't see any signs of disease right then, in reality, it hasn't bothered them. It's nothing wrong with it. I still feel good. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. I felt good for a long time, too. Yes, sir. I felt good for a long time, too. But it's finally caught up with me. Gluttony first alters and pollutes the temperament of the blood. You see, we're living in an age, folks, where food is a big part of life. I'm talking about a real big part. I mean, just constantly eating and this. I mean, look at all the restaurants and all. That ought to be a clear sign that food has become a god. The variety of things that we have offered to us this day and time. But let me tell you, moms and dads, you got little children. Where gluttony first starts is quality and quantity. It begins by polluting the temperament of the blood to the degree that it's unable to keep the body fit and healthy as it should. All this happens by degrees. Little by little, you see. In other words, even in this, it reminds us of what the wise man said over there upon the inspiration of God. Because God doesn't execute judgment speedily. So you may have went home today and you know full well you eat too many bites. You took in more than you needed. And because you're sitting here tonight and feel rather well, you feel healthy, you feel like everything's all right, but you do remember you were quite stuffed when you got up. The Bible said because God doesn't execute judgment speedily, the hearts of the sons of men are fully set to go back to another meal and cram again tonight before you get in bed. Even though your body can't no way can even deal what you've already ate, you're going to throw some more in on top of it before you get to bed. Overeating turns the blood into a defiled mixture. Kind of a saline type, tartar type situation. The blood ends up hardening the arteries and a number of other things. The blood then consists more of a slimy type water content instead of the sweetness that nature made it to keep your body fit, alive, and healthy, you see. I mean, people are so bad they can't hardly stay alert even while hearing preaching. I mean, it's such a bad situation. Well, when our blood gets bad, then the candle of our life begins to slowly ebb away. Little by little, we begin to feel less and less of doing our duties, you see. And finally, when the blood is contaminated enough, your body dies. It cannot live once it gets enough of this contamination in it from excess. So what happens is, because of excess, the blood is tainted with corruption, the veins are obstructed, and this can cause many uncomfortable diseases such as distempers of the brain, comas, abnormal drowsiness, strokes, palsy, convulsions, epilepsy, dizziness, inflammation of membranes in the nose, in the throat, headaches, and a lot of other problems that are caused by tainted blood that got tainted by excess. Asthma, nerve problems, tuberculosis, pleurisy, and many other common problems are caused by excess. Eating too much at one time or too much at one sitting. Eating poor quality of foods. Faintings, which are attributed to weakness, are caused by those secret excrements lodged in your bowels that ends up putrefying your blood. All because of overeating. Eating to the excess.
Lack of appetite is usually caused by an excess in eating. If you get sick, you get to feeling bad, just trace it on back. Prior to that, you stuffed your gut. You've eaten too much in one day, and it finally, in God, in His mercy, lets it make you sick. And you know what sickness does? It slows you down from eating so your body can kind of try to repair itself a little bit. You know, if that never happened, son, we'd probably have eaten ourselves in the grave before we got 20 years old. Excess in eating. This beastly appetite that still wants more and more when one is full is caused by a vicious body system, which is caused by gluttony, a desire, and a zeal to satisfy the lust of the flesh. You see, our blood has in it the ability to keep our bodies healthy. But when we put excess in our body, you see, folks, you get to thinking, well, preacher, if it's good, wholesome food, I don't care what it is. God, hey, listen to me, who would serve a better food than the Almighty? He said, every man get a certain amount. You can eat too many grapes. You can eat too many apples. You can eat more than your body can digest, and it's going to stay in your bowels. It's going to cling to your walls. And folks, I'm not a doctor, but I know one thing. A lot of diseases start out of that bowel tract. Excess. Oh, as long as I don't gain no weight, I can eat all I want. Well, listen to me. What you going to do when somebody's sitting over there weighs 100 pounds more than you ought to, and you're down 5 pounds under, and you drop dead with a disease? Now, I'm not a picking on nobody tonight, but, don't be picking on us fat people either. I'm telling you, I got a problem, son. I'm telling you, I'm headed out, praying, praise God. I'm coming out of this thing, and I'm gonna keep learning and keep praying God to help me and get a hold of this. And I want to get out and I really serious and honestly eat that which I think I need to help me be a better servant of God. What value is it if I know all the truth I know if I don't have the health to preach it? Now, this appetite, this beastly appetite, causes a lot of problems. You got pains in your stomach? There's something wrong with you. There's some kind of putrefaction hanging around down in there. You got to go to vomiting? Oh, your bowel tracts are full. It can't go out that way. It's got to start coming back up your throat. Hiccups, inflammations, thirst are usually from overeating. Pain in the pelvis area, a continuous change in your body, your skin, ulcers, worms, and other troubles in those parts usually come from blood problems that's caused by gluttony. Eating too much, more than your body. I mean, the thinnest person in this church can be guilty of gluttony. Hey, it's as small as you might be, if you put more food in than your body can handle, you're asking for trouble. Liver problems, the jaundice, abscesses, the dropsy or water accumulation in various joints of your body are all caused by excess. Bad blood, gallstones, kidney stones, failures of kidney, bladder problems can all be traced to bad eating habits, whether in quantity or quality. Fevers and infections are often the cause of long excess eatings. Look how much sickness there is always in January. Boy, about November, people start stuffing themselves. They go through Thanksgiving, and boy, they feed that flesh. All this junk is being made in candies and sweets and all that stuff, and it's a nibbling all the way through to the pagan holidays at the end of the year. And boy, people eat, and then look, this country gets real sick about January. Real sick. And by the way, listen to me. It probably ain't been a generation. You parents around here, listen to me. I say this kindly and lovingly, and you listen to me. You just as stupid as I was. But your kids got some poor eating habits, son. They just junk food junkies. That's what they want is a bunch of junk. They come down to the house and swill down that Mountain Dew and Coke and Pepsi. Praise God, they hate water. And by the way, what are we doing?
We're helping pollute their blood.
We're helping give them a problem. We're helping make them a burden to somebody one day, time they hit 40 years old. They got all these problems. They can't function. They don't feel well. They don't feel like moving around. They don't feel like doing anything. Now, all of this stuff is caused. Go back to blood. But then why is the blood fouled up? Why is the blood polluted?
It's what we're taking in our system.
And most of the time, it can be traced to excess. Eating more than your body can handle. Excess in eating prepares your body for disease. So if you want to go home tonight, and you want to pop a few things, and after you pop a few, the old flesh says, get you another, and get you another, and get you another. Hey, you sit there around some snacks and pick up long, son, you'll find yourself eating more than you intended to eat. Now, when you do that tonight, when you go to bed, just remember, you're preparing your body for disease. Oh, be happy tonight because you feel well. Pray and thank God for the plenty that He's put in your house because you've eaten all you wanted. But you also thank God when your disease comes, when your blood gets bad, when it gets so thick it won't travel, when it gets stopped up. Then we'll see that it's not worth it. It's not worth it at all. Gouts, hysterical effects, diseases of the eyes, and other exterior parts is brought on by gluttony, an excess in eating, and drinking. You can drink more than you need to drink. You can overload your system. Gluttony enriches the funeral homes, it fills the earth with dead bodies, and hastens a multitude to untimely deaths. I mean, folks, what if you live to be 40 and your health goes away? I mean, what pleasure to get out of life when your health is gone? Or you got to live on 20 pills in order to survive. You may say, well, preacher, many do not eat excessively, and diseases have them also. But hey, what did they eat when they was little? I told you it starts when they're about Jordan size and smaller. I let them cram them candies and all the time be a reaching their hand in a bag of junk. And oh, just because they get of age and decide, I'm not going to be fat. I'm going to get myself in shape. I'm going to get myself so I'll at least be decent to look at. Hey, the damage is already done. They've grown up eating junk and eating this and eating all hours of the day and all hours of the night, and their blood is already polluted. When gluttony has bred the disease, then sometimes, in many cases, in most cases, all the temperance you can get a hold of will not keep your problem under control. There are some that's been brought to death doors by abundance. On every diet you want to get on, they're going to have a tape and tell you the miracle of what that thing will do. But there's only a few that ever get a full reversal like that. For the most, the damage is done, the disease is bred, the blood is bad, and you're going to have the disease. And it's going to overcome you and take you sooner or later. Now, that'll not discourage you from trying to straighten up, folks. I don't deserve another day, but if God gives me another day, I'm going to try to keep myself under discipline, and I'm going to try to use reason instead of letting my appetite have its way. But I don't expect any supernatural things. God don't owe me a healing. God don't owe me anything. I've willfully and deliberately went this way of abusing my body, so God don't owe me anything, but we'll all at least try to have as many right days as we possibly can before we leave this world. You should be able to judge by listening to all these diseases what a murderer gluttony really is. It is self-murder. And it's an enemy to mankind. Gluttony is also a deadly enemy to your brain, to your mind, and to all the noble employments of reason, both in religion and civil. As smoke will be taken to the beehive and it drives bees away from their hive, so gluttony will expel all spiritual gifts. Gluttony will so deaden your mind and take away all those endowments God has given you and makes you even unfit to pay attention while you're reading the Bible, while you're praying, or while you're listening to preaching. And because it's such a common sin, you can go up and say, man, you have any problem listening to preaching? Yeah, I sure do. Yeah, I do. That makes you feel well. Well, the truth of the matter is, folks, we're probably all caught up in the same sin. And we're all, to some degree, is having a negative effect on us. Gluttony unfits men for any real close and serious studies, and therefore tends to nourish ignorance and keep men fools. Gluttony greatly unfits you for hearing the Word of God preached. People that overeat are sleepy. They just can't stay awake. But it ain't the way God made you. Ain't the way God made you. God made you sleep at night. But oh, once that blood gets bad, then you're headed for trouble, and sometimes real quick. I mean, you just don't know, folks, who in this building could be absolutely on the verge of some kind of serious disease. And it don't have to be a 40-year-old or a 50. It could be a 20-year-old. I mean, it can be somebody even less age than that gluttony, eating in excess, already has grabbed a hold of and will, in fact, destroy them before they ever live out a natural life. Gluttony makes men have their mind more to sleep, and it dulls them so they have no life or energy for their duties. You see, a clear head will get more done in an hour than a full beast will get done in a day. Just look how many man hours are lost because of people don't feel well. Just watch tomorrow, what do you call it, Blue Monday. You know why? People has fed that flesh all weekend, and but they can't get off the line tomorrow. They can't get started, and $1 million will be lost here in this county tomorrow on account of bad eating habits. People that just cannot function. A gluttony is an enemy of all preachers. We've been called upon to feed the flock of God. And how can I feed the flock of God when my mind is not even awake and alert? Just as much as drunkenness would be an enemy to a soldier. See, a drunk soldier would be unable to resist the enemy, and a drowsy mind, a body that don't feel good, is unable to resist the enemy or the flesh in sleep, sluggardness, naps, and all the other things that go with this gluttony. Gluttony is also an enemy to diligence. In every honest trade and calling, gluttony dulls the body as well as the mind. Gluttony makes men heavy. It makes their minds drowsy. It makes them slothful. And they go about their business as if their clothes were made out of lead. They just don't have the energy. They have more energy to sleep than they have for anything else. Why? Because of their eating habits, the quantity and quality. Gluttony is the immediate symptom of a carnal mind. And gluttony is part of that damnable sin of pleasing the flesh that I've already spoken about. And a carnal mind is the very sum of iniquity, and God gives the proper name of carnal mind to the unregenerate. And that's another bad sign, because a carnal-minded man minds the things of the flesh. The filthy sins like homosexuality, fornicators, idolaters, and thieves, what are all they but to please the flesh? And who serves the flesh more, really? Who can satisfy his God more, a glutton or a fornicator? A glutton. Who can be more busy in his love, a thief or a man who allows his appetite to control his eating habits? Why, a thief could never steal as many times a day as a man gets to bow to that flesh. Same thing. It's a bowing to the flesh. Gluttony is the breeder and feeder of all other lust. Folks, I don't care if it's carrots. The reason you don't see a lot of that is because the body itself would rather have the junk food than the good food.
But you give me a person that's a glutton, even in good food, I'll give you, show you somebody that opens the door to other lust and evil thinking and so forth. Gluttony pampers the flesh by feeding it and really makes the flesh a sacrifice for its lust. Just as fertilizing your yard, it'll make the ground very fruitful, especially in weeds. So does gluttony fill the mind with the weeds of filthy thoughts, filthy desires, filthy words, and filthy deeds. Gluttony is a base and beastly kind of sin. For a man to place his happiness in food and eating and drinking, he's seeking the pleasure of a swine. That's the way pigs are. They live to eat. And when a man makes his reason serve his throat, or allows his appetite to put whatever it wants in so that it may sink into his guts, oh, listen to me, he's acting in a base state and not in that of a man whom God gave reason to control these things. You know, man has a higher reason than to carry food from the table to the toilet. It's more to it than that. Many beasts will not eat excessive nor drink excessive as the glutton does. Gluttony is a consumer and devourer of the creatures of God. Can we raise them fast enough? My! At the food that's being consumed, especially in the meat department, you wonder how they have that many animals to kill and to devour the way people eat. Always packing themselves. What would you think of someone who takes his meat and drink and throws it out in the sewer to start with? Oh, that'd be foolish to pay for meat and drink and cast it into the sewer, wouldn't it? What would you think if your wife brought home your food and she just went in there and opened the beans up, poured it down the commode and flushed it? Took her ham out and threw it in the face and flushed it. Whoa, whoa, whoa! That's a waste! But is that not what we do? We eat to the excess? When you eat more than your body can hold and more than it can use to nurture your body, are you not just as well as throwing it down the sewer? Huh? Well, sure you are, folks. Some people eat till they got to go to the bathroom right then. And oh, how happy they are, because it gives them that lightness so they can hit it again and fill it up again. The glutton does worse than those. It'd be better to throw all excess out to the dogs than it would to be put it in your body. You know, always to have this thought, well, I hate to waste that in 5 French fries. You know, you have all kinds of ways of deceiving yourself. Well, ain't no point leaving that one piece of chicken. And I'll be so full that I know full well the eating of that. Or you go there in the cake, well, it ain't about that big. I might as well what? Prepare yourself for disease. Have yourself on disability by the time you get a certain age. Get yourself a stroke. Get you some gout. Get you some kind of kidney disease. Get you some kind of liver problem. Because that's exactly what excess does. Are the creatures of God no more worth? Are they given to us by God to devour them and throw them in our bodies to the excess so that we can run and dump them out in the sewer? And to fill our colon all up with vileness and food that's decayed and rotted? It'd make you sick tonight if you knowed how much groceries is hanging on your lower bowel tract. Just hanging there, eating and gnawing. The blood being polluted. The blood being toxic. And it cannot no longer give you the strength that's needed while this stuff's hanging on. No wonder these cells get weak and kind of eating each other and what you call cancer and all that kind of stuff. Would you like your children to take their inheritance and use it in the same manner as the glutton does? Just let me put it on my plate. Ain't but 2 more spoons. Listen to me, folks. I'm not against waste. God mixes a waster's kin to the sluggard. But I'll tell you one thing, friend. You'd be better off to waste it than you had to try to eat it. To put more in your body
then your body rife at ease.
Every man get a certain amount. Every man get an omer. Whatever how many he's got up in his tent to feed him. And the Bible said when they did meet it, when they did measure it, there wasn't nothing left over. But see, lady, that's going to take a little bit more planning on your part of it. You ain't careful, you just make it, and so what? And what does a lot of food do? I know we mean well, and we're going to get it out the next day, but how many times you ladies in this generation had to go to your refrigerator and clean out all this mess that you kept sticking back, and finally, it just plumb cankered. It's rotted. I opened up a little container at our house the other day. I was making me a salad. It looked like maybe it's one my wife puts tomato in when she cuts me some off for a salad and puts the rest of the tomato. And sure enough, it was one, but it had white chunks all over it. Look, hairy. That way, it was rotted in the refrigerator. But you know, I wonder what that stuff looks like on the inside of a man when his body can't process it.
Gluttony is the most unthankful sin. It is taking God's mercies, which has given us plenty to eat, and is spewing it back in His face. How sad that we take that which God gives us to nourish our bodies, and then we nourish our flesh, and oh, we take the mercy of God given to us and turn right around, and when our flesh is full, we fight against God as long as we can. Why take God's blessings and use it to provoke and dishonor Him instead of serve Him? Oh, listen to me, folks. I know it's strange. I mean, I know myself. I'm sitting here listening to myself talk, and I'm talking to absolutely different and opposite what you. But I'm telling you, I was wrong. Listen to me. God does expect us to use reason when it comes to eating. All that stupidity, well, let a man eat, and I want to go home and get me a great big bowl of ice cream. This one of God had to kill me for talking that kind of stupidity. And sitting there eating cookies, that just making light of my manhood. Manhood is, God said, I give you a reason. And your reason is to control your appetite. And your appetite is to never get control and get in the kingly place. And your reason submissive is. Your appetite is always to bow to your reason. Gluttony is a sin which turns your own mercies, the money God gives you, the food God gives you, into a snare and to your deadly ruin. You can take, well, we got extra money. Let's get a bigger meal. Like I say, buddy, this, you know, in other words, a place can't hardly make it if they don't buffet a meal. What is buffet, buddy? You know why you go to buffet? Because you can fill your belly up for a certain amount of price. And boy, it'd be just about more than your flesh can bear for you to go to a buffet and pay $7 for it and get you a little dab of beans, a little dab of this, and then turn around and walk out of there. You couldn't hardly do that, could you? We done so set to put all we can in there. And if an hour or so later we could just give one hearty belch and feel better, run to make one run to the toilet, and then we'll be set for the evening meal to do it all over again. When you please your throat, you're poisoning your soul and body. It had been better for me to live on scraps for the last 10 years than to have turned my plenty into a damnable sin, which I did. I took money God gave me and I eat more than I needed to eat. And not only did I eat more, I encouraged others to do the same wicked thing, is to eat till they can't hold no more. And oh, it seemed like every meal it had to be a bigger meal. A more variety meal, a more costly meal. Oh, how sad to take God's money and spend it in such a way. God warns us, and houses full of all good things. Is your house, you got some spare room tonight? You got some vacant walls? Not hardly. God's filled up our houses with good things, which thou fillest not. And wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord.
which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You know, gluttony will make you say, who is the Lord? I mean, you may think, who does he think he is telling us we eat too much? I mean, come on now, preacher. What are you saying? You trying to get in my last thing I got freedom in, praise God. You done dabbled in every part of my life. Now you're trying to get in my throat. Well, I'm just preaching the truth. I'm just confessing my sin. And if you want me to come to the hospital to see you, just don't worry about it. Just keep on pumping it in. Keep on eating to the excess. If you don't want to see your kid get married, you don't want to have no grandchildren, and you don't want to have no normal life, just go ahead and keep on letting me brag. Boy, they can really eat. You ever seen how much they can eat? Boy, some people just got a name for how much they can gratify their flesh. Oh, they can put down. Oh, you ain't never seen nobody eat. You see them eat. It's amazing how strange we are. Love to watch your man. Say, preacher, oh, I'd love to just hate to see somebody just take a razor and just slit their throat. But God said a man given an appetite, same thing. And what about those that entice one another? Eat some more, have another, man. Fill yourself up. It's kind of hard to get used to. He's eating with lifestyle tonight. And he had a good meal there. And Natalie made a lemon pie. Boy, it was good. Man, that thing was good. That was some kind of crumbly up kind of crust on that thing. And Natalie spoke up and said, there's one more piece of pie if somebody needs it. Oh, I said, man. I said, you know, I've eaten some people's house and the food was so bad I want to stick it in my pocket and haul it off. I said, now this case is, I'd love to slid that pie in my pocket and eat it off in the private somewhere. I wasn't about to take that pie. But some part of me wanted it so bad. It started talking, well, you know this, well that. But I thought it was kind of cute, if anybody needs it. Boy, that kind of left you in a bad way.
The Bible said in Proverbs 39,
that's a good way to tell you, have another if you need it. Hey, by the way, don't think horrible of people if you have somebody say, now, help yourself. It's just habits. So don't think, oh, man, they're trying to kill me. Don't get an inferiority complex. If somebody tries to get you to have another biscuit or another piece of chicken or this, that, and other, don't think like that. But we do need to be mindful of this, that we can't encourage people to gratify their lust. Now, in Proverbs 39, the gluttony will make a man say, who is the Lord?
It said, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal. The Israelites, the Bible said, they did eat
and they were well filled. In other words, they went beyond what they needed.
For he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust. But while the meat was in their mouths,
the Bible said the wrath of the Lord went against them and slew the fattest of them for the indulgence in their appetite.
Gluttony is a great time-wasting sin. Think about the time that's spent on getting the money that is laid out for food. Not only that, think about all the time people spend in preparing food. Not only that, think about all the time that is actually spent on feasting on the food. Not only that, think about all the money people spend on laxatives to get rid of the food.
We eat it, and then we want a citric magnesium to flush it out.
We eat all day long, and then we come home and pop as many square chocolates as we can
to try to move your system. And sometimes, friend, your system will be so full of poisons that it eats up the laxative and leaves you stocked up.
Not only that, think about all the money that is spent to cure the diseases that's caused by the overeating. I mean, folks, listen to me. There's a lot of diseases out there that can literally bust you. I mean, it costs to buy some of these pills and some of these medicines.
But like me, it'd be better off, praise God, to try to use temperance. The thing that Paul spoke to Felix about, temperance and judgment, self-control, you see, than it would be to go this route.
Besides that, all the time that's lost in nourishing the sick.
How many people's going to be out of work tomorrow because they're sick?
Oh, my.
How many factories are going to operate plumb in a crippled way tomorrow because men are sick?
Think about all the money that's spent on untimely deaths.
The glutton lives to eat, and he eats to frustrate and to shorten his life. What an amazing. You live, you're looking for the next meal. What we're going to have. I mean, you know, it's something here tonight. You're just like I used to be. Even while you're hearing preaching, you're thinking about the snack you're going to have. Thinking about that bedtime nibbling. They're really not nibbling at all. It's a wrong use of terms. It's a devouring. You know, you're going to have, I'm just going to have one. Yeah, the old saying is, I bet you can't eat one. And usually you lose the bet. All time, money, all that spent on eating, you see, and all for what? To frustrate you, to make you sick, to poison your blood, to cause you an untimely death. And in the process between the time you eat and the time you die, you're going to spend a lot of days sick, swelled, hurting, aching, throbbing, and all of that. We're crazy, plum crazy.
Gluttony is a thief that robs you of your estates and devours that which is given you for better uses. A gluttony will make you forget that you've got to give an account to God for everything. No matter how simple or small it may be, you must give an account to the Almighty God. Gluttony is a costly sin and consumes more that could be used for a lot better purposes. You'd be surprised how much, let me say in our case, could be saved on grocery bills if we use temperance. You know, you take a box of macaroni, you fix a box of macaroni, and most of the time, some of it's going to be left over. You could fix a half a box of macaroni, that way the macaroni lasts two times. In other words, we just get eaten. I mean, you know, fresh food's always better. Most of it is. I like a lot of cold stuff. I take it out of the refrigerator. I eat it just cold. But food's good. Hey, we just learn to use some discipline and use some planning. There would not be as much waste. Hey, listen to me. Fido wasn't made to live off of that either. So he walks around with his ribs showing, howling in the night. He said, dog just howled. His belly probably hurt nuts. Write you some notes out. When dogs are barking all night long, say, hey, what did we feed him? What will we give him to eat? You get his belly hurt. Get it? He has high acid. Big acid content. Dogs are scavengers, man. They live better on wild rabbits. And to do a piece of chocolate pie mixed in with green beans and a tomato and some other slop. That's for pigs. Not only are you killing yourself, you're hurting your dog by fixing too much food. How great a part of riches are spent in a place like America on luxury and excessive eating. And look how much waste. I mean, it gets so just common to throw bowls of food out the door to the animals. Gluttony is a sin that is a greater enemy as there is to the common good of people. You know, the President of the United States ought to speak about it. It's for the well-being of his subjects that he tells people they ain't got no business overeating. Right here in Stanley County. This is February of 2001. There are some people that will not have enough money at the end of the month to pay their debts because they eat it up. They went to Sonic. They stopped at the Pizza Hut. They went over there to another place and another place, Kentucky Fried Chicken and all the other grease pits. And just blowed their money on food. You don't realize how much. Oh, listen to me. Write yourself some notes. You don't have to show it to nobody. You don't have to even tell nobody. Write it down what you're spending. I go to the grocery store. I'm talking about all you spend. I ain't talking about that one run for $40. I'm talking about all them stops of picking up this and picking up that, picking up one of these, picking up one of these, sitting there saying, oh, yeah, I'd like to have one of them tonight for supper, and running out to the store. I mean, count your mileage on your car, your gas, and all that kind of stuff. You'd be surprised how much of your income is going to feed your belly. More so than you'd like to think, people must go unpaid. Necessary things are go neglected because people are consuming so much into their guts.
I mean, every lady knows what it's like to get fixed supper, and you get a binge come over you to run to that grocery store. And boy, you want to put on some new thing, and boy, you just can't hardly wait. Money, 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 money.
This country is spending so much on its throat that many good things cannot be done because the gut
is devouring all the money.
It's being absorbed. If we only knew how much money in this land was being thrown down the sinks
by chefs. All these eating places, how much food is being thrown away?
Oh, my, my, my. Even the common people. How much you been laying out for the dog lately?
Huh? Give some worms. Get some sick. Bible talks about them dogs are howling. Carrying on. Making a mess everywhere they go.
This sin would be frowned on more instead of being pictured as a blessing. You see, folks, it's amazing. You think, man, it's a blessing. Look at this. I went into a mini buffet and said, boy, what a blessing.
Man, I get myself ready for disease. Maybe that's part of my clot, my blood clot. And then here, old stupid here, is still 7 years later before he's coming to realize and recognize, son, that God didn't turn him with a free will loose on the buffet counter. But I'm supposed to use reason. And I'm supposed to stop at a certain amount. And I'm not supposed to look over and say, hey, now, you don't have as much as me. That ain't none of my business. You come to my house, I ain't going to sit there and say, oh, I noticed he eat 3 pieces or something or other. Every man get a certain rate. You know, an omer was a 1/10 of an ephah. An ephah is 31 quarts. I don't know how far that spread. I don't know what all that consists of. But I know one thing, it was a certain rate. And I think God put that in there on purpose, let us know that he would have us to eat a certain amount. And sometimes, folks, we have to choose this over that. You know, the average kid don't like beans. How many kids you got don't like beans? You know what? My daddy had a good remedy for somebody didn't like beans. But anything you didn't like, son, you got yourself a good portion of it. Well, I don't like beans. You know, some people are so peculiar, son, they don't like nothing except a Reese's cup. A bowl of ice cream. Yeah, heavenly hash. That's right, son. When he gets in, you'd hash your carcass, son. That's where you'll be in heaven. Huh? Large, great big bowls. Right before you go to bed so that stuff can settle in all your vitals. Get that skim all over you. Oh, you ain't going to get out there. After you go home tonight and sit there a few minutes and throw you down this and throw you down that and put you some greasy chicken in there and something else in there. Then you get in there and that stuff just spreads all in and wraps all around your liver. You wake up the next morning, son, it seemed like somebody drug you here to Norwood. You can't hardly get up. You can't get your mind awake. Boy, your bones is hurting and everything. Hey, all that stuff is settled in there. And how long will it take to get it out? I'm telling you, folks, most of the time it's irreversible. You may hear once in a while a story like Lester Roloff. Talked to a guy down the other day that had a badge. And boy, through a certain type of eating, that thing was turned and their health was restored. But you don't see that often, I'm telling you. So once you get yourself into a disease situation, I'm telling you, you can pretty much go ahead and guess that you probably won't be one of those who gets a miracle. Because that's what that is, a reversal in a health problem, a disease, a serious one, is an absolute miracle. Because you say, why, preacher? Because it's been so long in the breeding of it. See, we just think, man, I got a problem. Oh, son, it's a problem. What we don't realize is, son, it's been a long problem. You know, back since we got out of school, you take that old pet milk and put it in there halfway, and then mess up halfway water, dump a couple more teaspoons of sugar in there and spin it up and get some old Squire crackers, Zester crackers, and put peanut butter on it and swill it down, eat crackers, make me another glass. Yeah. That's what I munched on.
Oh, no, we didn't have all this extra. We find pet milk or something. I don't know what Mama used it for. I used to use that stuff more for something or other, but I'd make drinks out of it. The more I realized, man, I've been fouled up my whole life. I've just been had bad eating habits since I can remember. Huh? Eating 5 or 6 hot dogs at one time. I didn't do that but one time, but I still remember it. And no doubt that helped encourage me to the very problem I got right this day of indulging. Oh, it was funny. How many did you eat? You ate that something. That boy eats 5 hot dogs. And I know people are ignorant because I've been ignorant and I was ignorant myself and they don't know no better. But hey, I'm telling you folks, we better pay attention to this thing. If God delights in to show us that a major disease are caused by excessive eating problems, quality and quantity, unless we're wanting the disease, we ought to at least pray for God to help us. I mean, if you want to walk around and ache and, you know, your husband says, let's go hiking. Oh, I can't do that. My body start hurting. And it's a miracle of God I ain't like that right now. Just the fact is I can stand here is the mercy of God. But oh, for me to presume upon that. And God forgive me for the years I made all of those foolish statements. That God will have mercy on me. And help me to teach and instruct you for as long as you live now to put up a warning sign. Watch out for your eating. And especially when you go to somebody else's house. You ever noticed how everybody else's food is always better than yours? Now, I know some people, it ain't nothing like yours. But for most of us, every time I go to somebody's house, I don't care if it's beans out of the can. And they didn't do nothing but dump them out of the can. It seemed like they're better than the beans I got at home. I mean, you come over here and say, man, that was the best chicken. Well, your chicken was the best to me. And that's where a man has a real problem. When he goes to somebody else's house, because first of all, he feels like, well, now, I want to let them know I appreciate it. So he consumes, you know, a whole chicken, 3 or 4 pounds of potatoes, pound of beans, 6 rolls, and 7 glasses of tea. In an effort to, we set up wrong. We think wrong. And if we think wrong, we live wrong. Gluttony is an awful thing. Now we continue, Lord willing, Wednesday night. But I want you to think about these. Like I say, I'm not trying to be critical. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I mean, I've been wrong, and by no means, the more I look at this and study it, I ain't right yet, but I'm a long ways from what I was. But I do wish we'd at least pray about this and ask ourselves, is it not within reason? Am I really taking Scripture out of context that each man got a certain amount? And anything they got into excess rotted? And the worms eat it? Could that not be a spiritual application to our own bodies? When I put in more than is needed, I don't care if it's lettuce, it's going to rot. Huh? It's going to breed some kind of disease. It's going to pollute my blood. And when my blood gets polluted, it won't be able to flow through my body and keep the health there. And then when my joints swell, and I have problems here and hurting there and this, that, and other, and all could be caused by excess in eating. I think we'll at least pray about it. And if you find it's no problem, you don't find it something, then I'll certainly understand because I was that ignorant too. And I went along telling myself, it'll make no difference. I ain't told myself, God ain't going to heal my legs by losing weight. He's going to do a miracle if it gets done, so I'll just stay fat until he does, and then I'll lose weight. You have all kinds of crazy thoughts. But son, whether he heals my leg or not, by the grace of God, son, I want to be done with preparing my body for some kind of disease. And I just don't think it'd be too good to live and lay around and, you know, can't hardly breathe and people feeling sorry for you and come by to see and you hear them in the next room laughing and cutting up and having a good time and you're so sick you can't even sit up in this chair. But there's a lot of people like that. And I believe a lot of it comes by excess in eating. Let's bow our head. Father, I don't want to be judgmental, Lord, if there's one area that I feel really weak in. To even now speak about is this matter of eating. I've been such a poor example. Lord, I've done wrong for so long myself and feel like I'm so far from being right at this very moment. But Lord, it's still the truth.
Lord, if I absolutely broke back out into overeating again, it still wouldn't change the truth. I believe everybody in this building, I'm talking about their own bodies, has a maximum of the food they need to intake per day. Or in any given meal. I think it's an unhealthy thing to make a man starve, for a man to starve himself all day and pack in at night or the evening meal and put that excess in there. And I don't care whether it's excess because we want to just eat till we're about to bust, or we eat excess because we hadn't had nothing all day. Excess is excess. And Lord, I think a man does himself a great injustice to go all day hungry, eat junk all day long, and then come home and pack in more than he needs. I wish you could really make us to believe, Lord, that you can work miracles, but you usually work by laws. And this law of intake has a great deal to do with our health and our well-being, and I pray you'll help us to see that. And I pray that nobody who lives in the same house with each other would condemn each other, criticize each other, be patient, long-suffering. And Lord, let each person fall or stand to his own master in how much he eats, how often he eats, and even what he eats. But Lord, I preach this that we all might be honest, and that God, you may have mercy on us. And Lord, if not myself, I don't deserve the mercy, but these people, I have absolutely not instructed them as they ought to be instructed in this eating. So I pray, dear God, that you would have mercy on them and help them and keep them from these bitter diseases because of my example and my encouragement of them to gratify the lust of their flesh. Please have mercy upon them. And I thank you for helping us all. And I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Yes, eating, boys, can be a sin. Because of the 1,001 problems, more ways you'll ever know. You know what's the problem? You know what the answer is then, Tom? Medicine. 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 You know what? It's both. Listen to me. I'm just a citizen. But as many pieces of literature I get on impotency, it must be a big problem when you hit 40. And I guarantee you behind that is poor eating habits. You know what? When your blood can't flow some, you ain't going to do but so much. Buddy, your blood flowing freely has all to do with that part of your life. And buddy, by excess, and you get pollutants in your blood, and the walls get thick, and you can't, your blood don't flow as easy, then you're going to malfunction. But you know what? They got a drug for you. They got something you can pop in. They got prescription, they got natural, they got all kinds of things. Matter of fact, I'm getting more and more of that literature. Just about a month don't go by, I don't get some literature on the miracle breakthrough with impotency. Now you can go back to your youth again. And listen to me, folks. People can believe all that they want to. Oh, I know, they got him testimony, but I tell you one thing, friend. You'd be surprised. It don't work with but a few. Yes, a few. And on top of that, many times, it's hurting something else when we're trying to fix one problem. Nowadays, the American way, run to the doctor. Oh, they're sick. Oh, get them something. Get them on some kind of medicine. Get them on some pills. Now they got to put in a little plastic carton where they got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock. And you got so many pills to take. I guarantee you, I believe this, most of it started way back yonder with excess, prosperity, having plenty, getting away from simple diets, and just eating a great variety. But the worst, folks, is excess. That's the big killer, is eating more than your system can require. I mean, you know, we've learned, you know, what man here's going to put extra corn oil in his car? You know that ain't good.
You know, I believe if you put extra quart in there, sometimes it may blow a seal. What we'll put extra in us, I want. Everything out here in front of us has got instructions. Don't do this and don't do that. It seems like the human body is the only thing that we can just absolutely ignore, we think, and escape the consequences of it. Yes, God has rules, guidelines. What is it? Reason. He gave me a brain. And buddy, I listen to me. Ain't nobody got to tell me. I know when I'm supposed to stop. And if I don't stop, ain't nobody's business. Ain't nobody's fault but mine. And you know when you're supposed to stop. You know when you've had enough. And you got to see it, folks. You say, well, preacher, I'm not talking about gaining. Yes, I am. I'm talking about gaining a disease. I'm going blind. My eyes are failing. Well, you say, what about all these folks out here preaching? Surely, oh yeah, folks, listen, God always works like that. He always lets some break all the rules and still seem to get away to see what His people are going to do. As if we're going to say, well, look at him. That man there, man, he's like a horse. I know him. He's like a horse. He's strong as a mule. And when he's 90 years old, he can still pick it in front of his car and drag it around inside the house. Yeah, but he ain't born. Huh? You can't even pick up the jack. Come here, honey. Help me get his jack up under the car. Oh, there'll be you sit there and watch them golf it down at dinner and feel good and get up and work hard. You say, well, you know, it must not be nice. I'm telling you something to it. I'm telling you, God wants you to use reason. So I want you to pray about it. I want you to think about it. And by the way, if you don't do nothing about it, I want you to pray for me. Because, son, I'm in bad shape. I'm not in good health at all. I'm one weak fella. And you know what? It brought it on myself. I've just took the knife and I've bled my own self. I've just bled the very zeal and life out of myself. And by the way, I don't even expect a full recovery. Don't even deserve it. But praise God, I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm going to spend the rest of the days I got hitting it right in the belly every time I can. Watch it, food, if it gets you. And wait till everybody, you're preaching about food now. And I'll tell them what I'll preach about. But I'm going to tell you, once I say it's the truth, son, I'm not going to kick against my master. I may be stupid for a long time, but I do have some grace. And when it starts letting me see the truth or something, then I can get pretty dogmatic on it. And I want to get that way on myself. And I want to have mercy on those that don't want to pay attention because I was once thick.